This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Over the last few weeks, it has been fun revisiting some of the great moments from the first decade of Studio 360. It's not just a nostalgic wallow. I've been discussing what we've learned over these 10 years about creativity with Julie Burstein, who was the show's executive producer for many years. She's put together the first Studio 360 book. It's called Spark: How Creativity Works, and it's being published this week. Last week, we talked about how artists use their work to deal with life's inevitable tough times. Julie is with me again, and we are on to something both more upbeat and kind of nuts and boltsy, yes?
Yes, today we're going to talk about work, which is something that a lot of us avoid, and we're going to hear how these artists actually do it. But the work itself doesn't start when you sit down at a desk. There's what my mom likes to call the work before the work. I know for me, I had to completely reorganize my tiny attic office before I could even start writing Spark. And it reminded me of the conversation you had a couple of years ago with Yo-Yo Ma when he described what he does each morning before he really gets down to practicing. Before he asks his cello named Petunia to sing, he really has to warm her up.
I've become friends with the instrument. Uh-huh. I try not to tax it too much. It's really like warming up a car or warming up your body. You stretch it.
Uh-huh.
You don't go into a fast run. You don't take it to 60 in 3 seconds or whatever. Because every day, the humidity is different. And wood, as well as our bodies, are slightly different. And it's actually making that relationship happen. And I think that's the most important thing, because if you don't have that happen, everything's going to be frustrating.
Warming up, which probably all creative people do, or all people do in one way or another, is great. But then, of course, there are so many ways to procrastinate. Oh, I should check my email. Oh, I should check that fact I may use. The novelist Isabel Allende was here, and she, interestingly, has a sort of macro technique to make her begin a new book. And that is, she begins every novel she writes on the same day, January 8th.
Because if I don't start on January 8th, I will probably not write it. But I'm still doubting about what that book will be about. Can you imagine what January 7th is like in my life?
It's interesting how a creative ritual can border on the OCD.
Well, sometimes I think you may have to call on those parts of yourself to be able to get any work done. And when Chuck Close was here, he talked about how his student work was all over the place, very abstract, and he really didn't have a process. But when it came time to paint his big self-portrait, which really launched his career, he used a grid to break down the large image into smaller parts, and that was incredibly useful for him as a process.
I wanted to have something very specific to do every day, and I wanted to do today what I did yesterday, and tomorrow I'll do what I do today. So I found a way to break down a big, complicated image into a lot of small, bite-sized pieces.
He has, accordingly, a great saying about creative work. He says, inspiration is for amateurs and the rest of us just show up and get to work.
If you wait for the clouds to part and for you to be struck in the head with a bolt of lightning, you're liable to wait for the rest of your life. But if you simply get going, something will occur to you.
By the way, listeners, play that again and again from our website. I think that's the most perfect description of how creative work gets done than almost any I've ever heard.
But one thing that happens, I think, inevitably to everyone is you get to a point where you can't work any longer, where something is going wrong. And the sculptor Richard Serra told a story of working in his studio when he was just starting out in New York City. His assistant was Phil Glass.
That is Philip Glass, the famous composer.
Exactly, who was working as a plumber at that point, writing music and working with Richard Serra. And every afternoon, they would hit what he calls the 4 o'clock problem, where they just couldn't keep going. And so this is what they did.
We'd get on the ferry or we'd get on a subway, because we found that if we took ourselves out of the studio and got into a space where you didn't have to walk and you were being transported, that actually ideas were exchanged more rapidly. So we used to take ferry boat rides. Sounds strange, but we did. Or we used to get on the subway and just ride back and forth and then go back to the studio, just to get ourselves in a different mindset.
Kurt, what do you do when you hit the 4 o'clock problem?
Well, and my 4 o'clock problem often comes at 2:30 or 3. Maybe I'm on Central Time.
You're
still
a little early, right?
But, you know, depending on the day, a nap. Or depending on the day, I can come here and try to make radio as well and and give up.
But diversion is an essential piece, just getting away from it.
Exactly, because you get so – you start breathing your own fumes and you get caught in your own little piece of paper or screen you're staring at.
So we've heard about beginnings and middles. What about endings? I remember – years ago, we did a show on how do you know when it's done,
right.
And your guest was Tony Kushner,
the writer of the great Angels in America, who had then just put on his lovely musical play, Caroliner Change, and he told me that he and his creative team had just a hell of a time finally coming up with the perfect ending.
Yes, he struggled and struggled with director George Wolfe and with the composer Jeanine Tesori and the star Tonya Pinkins, who plays Caroline. They did like 16 different versions of this song, and they had one big blow up. And afterwards, Kushner was on a subway platform and he called George Wolfe and he said, "Okay, I'm going to write something that includes everybody's ideas." And Wolfe said, "No, I want you to go home and forget everything that everybody said. You're the only one who's going to nail this for the words. Do your version." So Kushner did, and then brought it to the composer Jeanine Tesori.
And I think literally within an hour, it was set to music. We played it for ourselves. We both knew immediately that's it. Tanya learned it in like 2 seconds. She's a very fast study. And that night, the audience, when she finished, screamed, and we thought, okay, so it's done. And it works. And when it works, it works.
That's like, you know, 42nd Street or a
movie. It was a little bit like 42nd. It felt really good. I felt like a real Tin Pan Alley, you know, songwriter.
Mm-mm. Hope and water turned to wine. Hope's fine. Hope's fine. Hope's fine. Jelly turned to mud and some folks go to school at night.
Julie, thanks very much for coming back today.
My pleasure.
Studio 360's first book is just out, and it's called Spark: How Creativity Works. We'd love to hear from you about how you get back to work when you're feeling less than inspired. What do you do when you hit the wall at 4 o'clock? Tell us about it at studio360.org. And while you're there, you can listen to the full interviews with the geniuses in the book.